As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yo, technology, what is it all about?
Really, when you have four jobs, you're quadrupling the years you work in terms of income. You know, this is assumed they're equal income.
Right.
Some are higher than others. But yeah, I mean, we got like 25 euros making $450,000.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Hey, everybody, I am back. How are you all doing? I'm feeling totally refreshed and very excited to get back to podding. I hope you guys all managed to get away as we kind of bid goodbye to the last dregs of summer, sadly. But as I mentioned before, when I went on break, just because I wasn't publishing pods didn't mean I wasn't stocking up on the good stuff, good interviews, great interviews. And today we have a really fun one. On the program today is Isaac P. And if you have not guessed, Isaac is not his real name. And I don't know his last name, obviously. And that weird voice you heard at the top is not his either, of course. It's been digitally altered. Now, the obvious question is why? Well, Isaac is kind of the overlord of this so-called overemployed community. And overemployed basically refers to people who are secretly employed full-time by two or three or four or more companies. Because in the world of remote work, you can do that. And, you know, a lot of people are doing this. There's something like 30,000 people on the overemployed Discord swapping tips about how to juggle multiple gigs and not get caught. My favorite is the mouse jiggler, which is, as it sounds, this thing that moves your mouse so that your one screen doesn't sleep while you're doing something else for another job. There are a lot of little tips of the trade like that. The subreddit has about 80,000 people, and Isaac claims he makes more than $1 million a year by working two full-time jobs, plus a contract job, and running overemployed, and working less than 40 hours a week. Not bad. And I wanted to have him on because there's a lot to talk about, especially because as we're moving into this world of more permanent, remote, or hybrid work, and companies are now starting to kind of react to that, including imposing tracking software, which can see, kind of take screenshots, what websites you visit, what you're doing in Slack, all that kind of stuff. People don't like that very much. And also, if you believe the news, we're also heading for a rough recession, which means layoffs, etc. And so I wanted to talk to Isaac about what he thought about this idea of, you know, with the economy slowing down and how annoyed many companies seem to be about remote work, whether he thought this era of the overemployed was just this thing, this brief moment in time that was kind of came up as a consequence of the pandemic, or whether he thought it would become a thing. No prizes for guessing his answer. But we talk about all of that and also how he started down this path, working multiple jobs, how he started the website, and his views on the kind of the tech world as a cog in more than one machine. And also just one kind of interesting note I think is interesting, just as we think about this, working for multiple companies is not illegal, even if you are quote-unquote full-time, because all of this is basically done in secret. This is why Isaac is not using his real name or his real voice, but it's not against the law. It's not against the law in the UK or in Europe or in the US. So it's really interesting, but it is, you know, people who are doing it treat it as an illicit thing. People say in the kind of corporate world, it's unethical, etc. I'd love to get your thoughts. But anyhow, we get into all of that. So have a listen and let me know what you think. hit me up after the show on the emails or the Twitters or whatever. But now let's get to my conversation with Isaac P., founder of the Overemployed website, Discord, subreddit, etc. Enjoy. Well, thank you for agreeing to come on the show.
Hey, good to be on the show.
You're the first chipmunk I've ever interviewed, so it's very exciting for me.
It's a brave new world. I was listening to your metaverse interview. It was really good. And, you know, it just takes gaming to the next level, right?
Indeed, indeed. Well, look, I have so many questions and I'm so glad you agreed to do this. But before we like kick off, can you just briefly say kind of your vital stats, who you are, what you're doing, and kind of why we're talking?
Sure. Yeah, I'm just a working stiff in tech, previously in finance. And let's just say, broadly speaking, I'm in my early 40s. I live in the Bay Area just like yourself. Mm-hmm. And I have a family. And I started this blog, this kind of almost on a bed that would spread. And, you know, the blog talks about, basically, I mean, I'll sum it up. Everyone is now a solo entrepreneur of their own. And everyone could be overemployed and treat themselves as a single member LLC or an S corp, whatever. And they can work multiple remote jobs and, you know, reach financial freedom, pursue life, liberty, happiness sooner than later.
So can you be as forthcoming as you want or can be about what is your situation in terms of being quote unquote overemployed?
Yeah, I have like, I guess, three jobs and a side hustle.
Three jobs and a side hustle. And those are three what your employers would consider full-time jobs?
Two of them is full-time and one is a contract, kind of gig. And of course, my side hustle is overemployed.com.
Got you. All in all, what can you say kind of what all of that activity brings in?
Yeah, just myself alone is north of 1 million, which isn't much in California, right? You and I both know, Danny.
Yeah. So
there's an average Joe, man. There's an average Joe.
So I'm fascinated. So can we go back to when you started this and kind of how long have you been doing this overemployed thing? What got you to start this Reddit subgroup? And I'm fascinated because I've been spending a good part of the last couple of days kind of trawling through it and hearing all the stories, people saying they have 4 and 5 jobs, making tons of money, and kind of employees are none the wiser, and just trying to get a sense of like how this all kind of came to be for you. And then we can get into a little bit more of like, you know, what you're seeing just in terms of the growth of the group and kind of people's experience.
Sure. I mean, we're going to talk through about tech, right? The whole 20, 30 years of it taking off. And I mean, I think logically, just like anybody, you're in tech long enough, everyone's got their own little side hustle. It's just an unspoken thing. And everyone basically is doing two jobs already. I mean, to be quite frank. So, I mean, the pandemic then enabled everyone to do their two jobs from home instead of having to, you know, schlep around a personal PC or working on a phone when you're in the office or go to your car and take a walk. It's just a natural progression. I mean, everyone was told that, you know, you have to have a side hustle. You have to diversify yourself. You should think like a business, right? You shouldn't, you know, businesses won't, in their right mind, have this one big customer. It's their one sole source of income.
Right.
And I think the pandemic, just like anything, you know, like Netflix, Peloton, Zoom, puts a tailwind in this idea that was already kind of, I call it an open secret in tech. You know, there's others that are doing 2-3 jobs already. I noticed through various sources of network and friends. They just don't openly tell it to you unless, you know, you happen the conversation lead that way or they would just trust you a lot.
Right.
So I think one is just, I think my mission, or I view it as, why don't we just blow this up and just do it? Instead of just keep doing it kind of, you know, furtively, kind of in secret, and then just normalize this idea that kind of the days of the employee is dead, because that social contract has been long dead. You and I both know that.
What idea is dead? What social contract is dead?
You know, like in the 1960s or 70s, you worked at GM or IBM, you get taken care of, right? You get a pension, you just do your time, punch in, punch out, you got nothing to worry about. Same thing for, you know, you work in the government, whatever, state employees. But if you come into the big, scary world of tech, we've all seen, everyone's been laid off at least once. Or those that don't just got lucky, the statistics. You're bound to catch you. And When you have a layoff, it's like almost having a death. It's not as extreme as a death, but the grieving cycle is just the same for yourself mentally. And I think thirdly, this is bad financially. This is bad practice to be just sitting back and waiting for that to happen to you. So why not take some controls back, and because that social contract, as we were talking about earlier, at least implicit, right? Be a loyal employee, you get taken care of. It's no longer there.
Right.
It hasn't been there since the early 90s. You know, IBM started it all. Yeah, not to knock on them even more. When they globalize and outsource and all that trend is just been going.
Did you go through this as well? Did you get canned at some point and were like, oh my God, this sucks, and I got to figure out a better way?
Yeah, right. Of course. I mean, in some ways, some canning is actually even more secretive, right? They just push you out. They don't really say you're fired. Yeah. You know, they show you the side door and say, you walk yourself out. type of canning. They don't take your ID away. You hand it to them and say, yeah, I quit. I'm leaving because you see the writings on the wall.
Right. And would you say, are you like a programmer or, I mean, because I think part of the nature of being able to do two or three things at once is kind of the nature of the work itself. If you're like, you know, I don't know, a content moderator, for example, that feels like, you know, you're kind of constantly being fed images, stuff to look at. Like it would be very hard to imagine that you could do that two or three times at once. So what is the nature of your work, basically programming or coding or something along that line where it's kind of a bit more episodic?
Yeah, you can say it's kind of like, you know, scalable or leverage, you know, have leverage kind of knowledge work where I'm just not, you know, I'm not in a production line making widget or customer service rep taking calls and getting clocked at, you know, or being tracked actually, you know, the latest New York Times piece about monitoring tools and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, so I'm talking to a couple of those companies this week, actually, like Time Doctor and Hubstaff. And that was one of the things I wanted to ask you is that, you know, companies, I imagine, won't be happy if they learn that one of their employees actually has two other full-time gigs or even another full-time gig, or maybe not even if like a side hustle or moonlighting or whatever. So there does seem to be, especially in this new world where a lot of people are working at home. There's this like, all right, that cool. You can do that. But as part of this, we want to install this software that monitors keystrokes, or is your Slack open? Is your computer on? All that kind of stuff. I mean, have you seen that? Or is that something that at least in the subreddit, you've seen more and more people talking about or getting worried about?
Yeah, I mean, companies are going to do what companies are going to do. I mean, it's just offense, defense, right? And then go round and round we go, right? I mean, this is free market. I would say companies that do that, do it carefully. You know, piss a lot of people off, and especially your high value employee that are like 100x type of engineers. You know, you tell them you're monitoring them, good luck. Because the stuff that they do with their talent is they can walk to anywhere up and down Silicon Valley and have a job. You know, I know data is everything. Like, you know, we're on tech and the world's consumed by data, but the measurement is not great. And so you get a lot of false positives in terms of employees, companies, and shareholders, who really is making the stuff for you from a tech perspective. So it's a, I don't know, it's a chicken and egg or a race car with no steering wheels right now, like facing each other, and we'll see where it falls out, where it pans out. I would say, you know, remote is here to stay. The overemployed idea is here to stay. It's just how do we want to, I guess, have a new social contract of work.
And so when did you go full OE, as you guys say?
yeah. Thanks. Yeah, the lexicon.
Yeah.
The internet meme lexicons. I think since early 2010s.
Oh, wow. So you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, this is kind of my coming out of the closet, if you will. I've obviously misdirected some here and there, but I've always had two W-2s. So it's nothing new.
You've always had two W-2s.
Yeah. That's to say, I grew up in an environment where working hard and hustling was encouraged. And that is not to overplay the whole, you know, hustle culture and everything, because I do draw my boundaries. But, you know, just thinking smartly about how you make your money, it's always been in my background. And then when the pandemic happened, that's just a natural thing that led to a tailwind of everyone can do it now. Right.
Right.
I think it's just a mindset thing. A lot of people, and even then, people still say, Oh, it's impossible. My only job, I'm so busy. But, if I was to really track your 50 hours that you're working in your only job, I really wonder how much was this bullshit work and how
Yeah.
much is it real work?
So can you walk me through like a typical day for you? Like how many hours a week are you ac or day are you actually working if you've got two W-2s, a side hustle, and this kind of website that you're doing?
I don't track it very closely. I do have a routine. Generally, I get my morning exercise in, and of course, I think we were just talking that there are kids to be ferried to school and back.
Yes.
That's like it's a common problem everyone working remote have. And I get off just at a normal time when everyone's off, and I spend time with kids, family. I would say significantly less than 40 hours a week.
You work less, significantly less than 40 hours a week, and you're making $1 million a year.
It's efficient, isn't it?
It's very efficient.
Compared to like if you have a single job, you're gonna make $1 million. I've been in that world. You get asked to do a lot because you can't pay a lot from a
Yeah.
perspective of your employer, that single employer.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoted for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And so is there part of this for you that's a bit more, when you talk about rewriting that social contract, that's a bit more adversarial with your employer? And not necessarily like not painting that in a negative light, but more kind of like to your point around like companies at any point can fire you. We understand that. But also just recognizing that reality and being like, actually, okay, I'm gonna look out for me first, and if that means having two W-2s, then fine. Is that kind of your attitude toward it in terms of taking a more almost adversarial approach?
I won't say it's adversarial when one side won't want to dance with you. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess that is adversarial. I don't know. For me is if they don't know, they're kind of like fat, dumb, and happy. So what? Everyone's happy. It's not actually adversarial unless they want to make it adversarial themselves. They as in the employers, when they find out about it, let's just say, right? We should really think smartly how to do IP protection and all that stuff. Is it really even working, all these legal paper that get pushed on employees and they can't do anything about it, take it or leave it, generally is
Right.
the attitude. Yeah, it just begs all these questions.
Do you have any with any of your gigs, do you have any of the those kind of like monitoring tools?
No, I mean if I find out about it, I just won't take the job. I got
Right.
four jobs. Why do I need it? I don't even need the other three jobs now, but then again, that's a nice thing. Oh, I guess the old employee saying it's funny, someone shared it in our community. It's very valid. I think some of us might not have FU money, but we got enough that your boss better watch out how they talk to you money.
Totally. And do you have like a magic number you're working toward? Because as you say, California is not a cheap place to live. $1 million here is different than $1 million in, say, Kansas, but it's still a lot of money.
I mean, it's all driven by your expenses, obviously. Even throughout life, as you're going through it, your expenses go up and come down. But the financial models, I love financial models, generally points to somewhere between $5 to $7 million. As no matter where you live, even at the most expensive places, you'd be okay.
So that's 5 to 7 in the bank, basically.
Oh, it's your net worth, yeah.
So I would imagine at most you've got another 5 years of this.
Less than that, yeah. I mean, really, when you have four jobs, you're quadrupling the years you work in terms of income. Let's just assume, let's just assume they're equal income.
Right.
Some are higher than others. But yeah, I mean, we got like 25 euros making $450,000.
Yeah.
Blew my mind. I spent my 20s making less than $100,000. I mean, there's inflation and everything else, even adjusted for that. And hence why kind of the, mind-blowing nature of when people stumble onto it, they just get lost in the rabbit hole. Cause,
right.
Seriously, you could make a difference. We're living in a crazy world where student debt is high as it's ever been. Everything's expensive. You're almost speaking to a generation that can't afford to buy a house, which is crazy. So this is almost like a redemption story.
Right. And so when you started this on a whim, as you say, it was almost on a bet, how did it grow? Or like how did that evolve? Because now it's you have 80,000 people on it, correct? On this thread?
The Reddit is actually not the main thing when we first started it. That was gifted to me by a member of our community. Until I started this thing, I actually wasn't on social media that much. But yeah, I think it grew kind of just organically, obviously search and coining the term. And for a while, apply the path of spamming, basically blind. And then, of course, Wall Street Journal picked up on it and then I reached out to one of the journalists there. And that was the first kind of front page weekend on the paper when the concept was out there.
And so when you say the Reddit isn't the main thing, what is the main thing?
Main thing is the Discord, actually, since originally from day one, people go on there.
And how many people are in the Discord now?
It's a little above 30,000.
Right. And is it on there? What's the point of it? Is it basically to share tips, to kind of open people's eyes, to do a bit of everything, be like, oh, you can do this too?
It's really built for me, Danny. Because if you're doing, just like classic anything, right? Like I built it for me. I'm the free paying member or non-paying member. It's around with people of like-mindedness. I think one thing when earlier, even before any of that got out to Wall Street Journal, etc., is I get emails a lot from the website, even in the beginning. It's like, I've been doing this for 20 years. Hey, thanks. Right. Thanks for having this website and having a community around it. I think people, it's just the human condition. It speaks to, I think what's powerful about OE, it really bows down to what it means to be human. People like to share their successful watering holes with others. At least those that are in the growth mindset and want to pull others up.
Yeah.
And they were tired of doing it all by themselves in secret and can't tell anyone. Out of fear of just, one, everyone coming to the same fishing hole and then, the tragedy of the commons and just deplete the whole thing, which you get some of that element of that mindset on Reddit today.
It was funny. Yeah. It was, are you talking about the guy who was like, please stop this.
Yeah, shut it down.
Shut it down. I'll give you 15 grand for it.
Yeah. I'm like, you realize it's called the internet, right? which is hilarious, because, that's really the origin story of what it was started. It was just I call it an inviting, fire for people to camp around, trade stories, even trade gigs. If they want to trade, apply their craft and share with each other where the rich, fishing holes are. And it's just a hangout place. It's just a hangout place that was built for me originally.
Right. And it sounds like your case, there's no danger of burnout. But are there burnout stories that you've come across where people are like, basically, this wrecked me because I had three jobs and I was working 80 hours a week.
Yeah, I was an investment banker once. That wrecked me, really. So I think this beautiful OE is you don't have one job, so you're not in investment banking. So you can't really dial up and down, right? Banking is banking. You can work hours or you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
Hyper-competitive world. So I think the nice thing of having 3, 4, 5, 10, we do have 10 jobs, people in the community, is you can dial up and down. As it suits you.
Right.
Completely self-configurable, right?
Right.
It's all up to you and how talented you are in terms of A, your value that of what you bring to these companies, and then B is how you manage your time and what's important to you. I think the single stud, just super talented, shoot, you could make millions if you want to. Just you have to accept that you're trading off time for money.
Yeah. Is there a story or like a case of someone that most sticks out of like the most extreme, like somebody making, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of that. I think we have one that makes, I don't know, 100,000 a month.
100 grand a month.
Yeah. Yeah. If you actually come to the private, I call it the dark side of the OE Discord. That's actually even screenshots of how much money they're going through their bank account.
Wow.
So yeah, That's people, whether they're running their own consulting firms, that's the community's evolving to where everyone's their own solopreneur slash their own kind of IT consulting company, almost. And yeah, we have extreme stuff like, you know, I think the highest at one point was like 14, 15 jobs. And they got, you know, practically like a server rack and multi-monitors, like a command center of sort. And people run wild with it, right? Like I don't fault them for it. I think a lot of them do have these kind of extremes, right? They were really down and out and almost bankrupt.
Mm.
To where today they're making a million plus. It's extreme.
Yeah, and
it really speaks to, you know, it makes for a good Hollywood movie about redemption, really.
Do you think there's a limited time on this? Because like I said, I think in the email I initially sent out, like you have the economy slowing down. You have companies like Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg famously said last month, he's like, so we overhired and work's going to get harder here. And if a lot of you leave, then great, because we don't want you here effectively. And you have starting to have layoffs, economic slowdown, and even companies being like, you got to come back into work. You have to come back into the office. It feels like there is a sense that perhaps this pandemic, as you say, it kind of put the wind behind the sails of OE. Now it's like the wind is gone. And you're having to bring the boat back into shore because it's like we're kind of getting back to quote unquote normal life.
I don't see it. If anything, traffic is an indicator of more interest in it. It's even gotten a little louder because it's kind of like a cycle, right? I think one macro trend is tech can never get enough talent. That's just belt tightening kind of BS narrative, I think. Again, it's like it's a kind of a different kind of firing, right? You show yourself out the door. That's what they're really, I think, saying. If you're a talented engineer or individual in any profession you're in that is remotable, I think probably the supply will go up. It just depends. Depends on your little industries that you're in and your talent, right? Everyone has their own little tinier and tinier supply and demand curves, if you will. So definitely for some, it might be, you know, closing time. And you think of, remote customer service rep, for example. And then the other extreme is, you know, hyper super talents, right? They're already OE, by the way. I don't know. You call it a founder of a company, a venture capitalist partner that's in multiple boards. This term has been around. No one has really coined a term. The concept of doing multiple job or multiple things to keep yourself intellectually engaged and spread your eggs and have different influences over many things. All the super talented people are already doing this long before introducing this concept to the common.
That's what I think is interesting because, you know, having been in the tech and business journalism world for a long time, you meet some people who are on, like, as you say, half a dozen boards and maybe also run a company or invest on the side, et cetera. So, but it's that idea of the quote unquote worker bee being like, well, I'm actually pretty good at what I do. And I bet you I could do this for more than one person or more than one company at the same time.
And especially with how software is assembled today. Practically, right?
Mm.
So everyone has their own little specialization, if you will, right? In that assembly line, you know. Again, not to say software is completely just it's like making a widget. Definitely not. But you have a lot of specialists. So in that extreme, those that are there, I don't think this is going away. If anything, it's going to explode. And inflation, recession, layoffs will drive more people to self-help themselves, to OE, to self-protect themselves. Their family.
Right. Because it is really interesting because we have like record low unemployment, but also in record high job openings. So you would think in a way, the conditions might be ripe for something like this.
Aggregate, right? That's aggregate.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to really, you know, extrapolate out like everyone's individual supply and demand curve. But I mean, if you're in an industry like a customer service rep, then I highly, you know, would say encourage move to a different supply and demand curve and upskill. Now's the time, you know, the party might be closing. Take all the money you can, pay down your debt, retool yourself and create a environment that is OE-able in the unforeseeable future.
Right, right. So based on where you are today, how long before you just ride off into the sunset and you go from OE to UE or what's a unemployed UE? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really like this concept of retire, right? Like it's a 20th century concept, I believe. I'd probably spend more time making, you know, intellectual stuff, writing a book that I've long wanted to write.
About this?
part about this, but I have another book. Just it's more of a memoir and about, you know, I guess what made me the kind of person that would do this stuff like this,
right.
Which I felt more foundation, more important. And even as a parent, I started to think about what does this mean for my kids in terms of work, right? In the future, is current school system built in the last century still valid?
Well, I do think about that actually, because we have these, you know, little school accounts for our, we have two boys, and, you know, we put money into it every month because theoretically, you know, in 15 years time or 13 years time when our older one is 18, we're like, all right, now we have a chunk of money that you can use for your university education. But then you look at university education today and you're like, well, is that the best model?
Yeah,
like,
the ROI is questionable, right? At best.
Yeah.
Because they themselves have, you know, mouths to feed, and it's a whole, you know, I call it university complex system itself that just keeps building on itself, feeding, you know, eventually the dam will break. I think something's got to give in the whole system.
Right, right.
If your kid 13 years from now, or even when they're 16,
yeah,
if they can code, they learn something like a specialized skill, and they can just get a contract at 16 doing something, or an apprentice, let's just say, to a master craftsman, somebody who is OE with 5 jobs. Why would he ever go to college if from day one he's making $200,000?
It's fascinating. I do wonder where else this might apply, though, because it feels like this, you know, this kind of, call it, quote unquote, the knowledge economy, coding, et cetera, that feels like it's relatively straight, not straightforward, but it feels like it's built for this in a way that a lot of other industries are not.
100%. Yeah. I mean, yeah, coding is not easy by far. I hated it. I think there are others, every single, let's call it new businesses, right? Startups to mature, you know, pre-IP, life cycle of business. I think every business are basically operated with, you know, the core infrastructure of the internet behind it. So you don't have to code. You can do DevOps. You can configure stuff.
Yeah.
You can do cybersecurity, you know, watch stuff and other things that is not code related. That there's a whole big, you know, kind of below the tip of the iceberg to accounting, to finance, anything that makes business go kind of remotely.
Well, the other interesting thing that occurs to me is that, you know, especially in journalism, I'll say, there is a value to a certain degree of being in the office, being able to kind of bounce ideas off other people, especially when trying to get kind of things in a creative field in one way or another, of that kind of establishing those human relationships and kind of building up cred with the people you need to build cred with, et cetera. This kind of gets to like the very heart of what work is. Because for a lot of people, it is their life. It's their social life. It's their identity. It's all of that.
No, 100%. I think people should decouple that. I've been there. Oh, trust me. There's nothing more like thumb your chest. I'm an investment banker in my nice suit riding the subway.
Yeah.
As far as wrap your identity into everything about you, it's not healthy, to be quite frank. And you're more than just a one-trick pony in terms of interest. As a person, as a human being, you know, you do this podcast stuff, right? And you might get, you know, monetize it in different ways. And hence why I started this whole thing with everyone's a solopreneur for themselves.
Yeah.
In this brave new world, everyone should start thinking everyone's selling and everyone's marketing. And so if you can decouple yourself from your jobs, I think that allows you to be more creative. You live a healthier life. You allow yourself to draw boundaries where fits and suits you in the time of your life, right? We all go through the cycle and have kids, and that takes up all your time.
Yeah, it sure does.
Right? Like, man, let me see what you can do. Then you really have to bet, you know, talk about like, you know, I probably have 5 jobs. You count that.
Look, I think that's a really good flavor, I think. And like I said, for me, it's going to be really interesting to see, especially as this idea kind of becomes more socialized, what companies do, if anything, to react or to try to kind of resist, because it feels like that's inevitable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tsunami coming, you know, like coming right at you. You can build a big wall or you can just let it through. I see my job is to drum up as big a tsunami as I can. So even if you build a wall, it'll break through. And if you let it through, great, because I think as human beings, we should live a little better, you know? We're so much productive today, like from an economic standpoint, do we really need to work 40 hours? I question all that, you know, that matrix kind of system.
Clearly.
You don't have to keep driving that stuff that people build for you. If you don't like it, you know, get off the train and go do something else.
And that was all the time we have. I want to thank Isaac for sharing his experiences. I just find the whole thing totally fascinating. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And that's it for me this week. Be back next week with more good stuff for you all. In the meantime, I did write a big piece on the overemployed kind of phenomenon in last week's paper. So if you didn't check that out, do go to the website. A lot of people seem to really like that one. So do check that out. I'm writing about a bunch of other stuff this weekend, which is still up in the air. So check that out too at thetimes.co.uk. Find me on Twitter at Danny Fortson. Email me danny.fortson@sunday-times.co.uk. That is it. Have a fabulous weekend. It's good to be back. Oh, and of course, a special shout out to Daisy, producer Daisy. We're back. We're up and running. Thank you for making this happen, as always. And we'll talk to you all next week.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.